As we hear the reading of God's Word this morning, we're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. May God richly bless this, the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. So I had one of the worst possible things happen to me this week. And it all started with a question that my daughter asked our family over a text message thread that we had. She said, "What is the scariest animal that you know?" And everybody else answered in different ways. There was some people said tigers, other people maybe said alligators, but I gave the correct answer in bees, hornets, wasps, sweat bees, all those kind of things linked together. Now, some people, if you know me, you would think that I would say swans, but here's the thing, is you can run away from a swan. But bees, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But this week, I got stung by a wasp. And as soon as it happened, I knew what happened because I felt all the life just drain out of me. And as I told the girls that I got stung by a wasp and I came back inside. Now, Julia, I think, was doing something outside. She was maybe coming back from the grocery store. And she just walked in right at that moment. And the girl, so excited to share with her the news that Daddy got stung by a wasp. And you just saw kind of this look of just tired frustration come over Julia's face. And she was like, "Of course, it would be you. Because I am the worst possible person to get stung by a bee or a wasp or a hornet. Because it confirms all the things that I've been saying about them from day one. That, as my dogs call them, these spicy little sky raisins are evil little things that are just out to do whatever they can to hurt me. And all of you that say, oh, they won't bother you if you don't bother them or something like that, it's all lies. It's all lies. And I finally got stung. But here's the thing. Is when I got stung, I was actually on the phone in my backyard calling somebody to give them some great news and to share something really exciting with them. And so, at the very best part of my week, I have the very worst thing happen to me. And in that moment, on the phone, I had a decision to make. Am I going to pay attention to the pain? Or am I going to pay attention to the joy? And I think all of us have felt a sense of that over the last several weeks as our joy and our tension and our frustrations and our disappointments, they've all been twisted together over the last several weeks. That even when something exciting has happened to us, we're surrounded by the reality of a global pandemic, of massive job loss and injuries to our economy and staggering rates of virus and infection and disease in our communities. Even our joy is wrapped up with difficulty. And so how do we separate the two? How do we find joy? How do we stay focused on the things that bring life, even when there's so much loss or difficulty or frustration or pain that's around us? And for me, I think that answer comes in the scripture that we read today. Beginning in John chapter 14, we get the final lessons of Jesus. So Jesus is still around that very same table of the Last Supper. And through chapter 14, through chapter 15, through chapter 16, Jesus is consistently hammering home one final point for his disciples. In my mind, the very heart of the good news of the gospel. That we will never be alone. That there is not a space, there is not a time, there is not a moment in which God will not be with us. And right here in John chapter 14, the heading right before what I read in my Bible says the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, in most of the scriptures, this is called the Paraclete. And the Paraclete is everything from the Holy Spirit, the companion, the advocate, the counselor, the encourager, the one who walks beside, the one who speaks on our behalf, the one who is always with us in every way that we need him. The Holy Spirit promised for us. The Holy Spirit is the very continuation of the life of God in the physical absence of Jesus. And Jesus tries to nail home, Jesus tries to drive home this point time and time again, that even when I am gone, the very life of God will be with you and in you. And I think that's the gospel news that we need to hear so often, and why I love teaching about the Holy Spirit and why I love preaching about the Holy Spirit is this idea that we can only do so much on our own. There is only so much compassion. There is only so many things that we can take on, that we can worry about, that we can do. We have our own limitations and our boundaries in this life. And when we get to the point that we are so overwhelmed, when we get to the point that we are just exhausted, we feel like there's nothing else we can give and nothing else we can do. The good news of what Jesus promises is that when we are at the edge of ourselves, we are already twisted and enmeshed and at the very beginning of where God is. When we get drained out, then we are so tied into God that God is only getting started. It's so easy for us in this life, for pain, for disappointment, for frustration, to overshadow and to drive out everything else, and for us to just focus on how much it hurts. But as Jesus says, the world cannot receive what he is giving because the pain, the hurts, and the frustrations of the world are temporary. They know nothing about the things that are eternal. And so Jesus says the very eternal life of God is what's going to be inside of us. It's the thing that allows us to find the joy. It's the thing that allows us to see the hope, even when things are difficult and they hurt. And so how are we able to choose the joy when things are painful? The good news today is we don't have to. The very life of God will live inside of us and remind us and bring it out and to show us. The very life of God can't help but be poured out all around us. And so even when I'm in my backyard and I get stung with a wasp, in that moment, I think I said on the phone, I think I just got stung by a wasp. And the person that I was talking to said, "Do I need to let you go?" And I remember there being a conscious decision and me saying, "No, I think it's all right. I'll push through. I really have something I want to tell you." And in that moment, being able to share something of joy, something that was life-giving, was the very light that has promised to push out darkness and hurt and pain and frustration. And even in my sense, even in just a physical, kind of small way this week, it's something that I've been thinking about, of how it drives off all the darkness and frustration and anxiety of what's already been swirling around us so often. The very life of God is what reminds us to focus on the things that are eternal and not on the hurts that are temporary. It's one thing to know that God is with us. It's another thing for us to live like we depend on God being in us. That unlocks a new life, a new future, and a new way in which joy is forever a part of the light and the hope that drives out the pain and the darkness. The very life of God with us, the very life of God in us, the very life of God poured out for the world through us. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks for a spirit that you've given us for free. For a spirit that you have promised will always be with us. God, you spent the last several hours of your life making sure that we knew and understood beyond anything else that you would be with us, that you would be within us. And then the very last thing that you did before you were arrested and betrayed was you prayed for each and every one of us. And you prayed that we would be one. You prayed that we would be together as you are together with us. And that through your grace and through your life, we would begin to build the very kingdom of God in the world. Lord, I pray for everybody who is listening and everybody who is not able to. That for all the pains and the hurts and the frustrations that they feel in their lives, God, I hope that you begin to show them the hope and the life. Because, God, that very hope and life is already living inside of them. I hope that they see that the edges of who they are the beginning of who you are in their lives. That we are no longer just ourselves, but we are us and God together living in this world, able to share a grace and light unlike anything else. And as we go forth, let us go forth that as you have promised us your Holy Spirit, we go forth promising the world that they will see God. We go in your power. We go in your Holy Spirit. We go in the name of Jesus. Amen.